Hey there, this is Heather McAllister, a health coach for women in midlife. I went from feeling fat and tired at 40 to living my best life ever 9 years later. I now feel better than ever in my body and in my clothes. I feel a renewed sense of purpose and energy, and I'm here to share that with you. It was not an easy path. I had a lot of missteps along the way. But all those missteps have made it easier to help women facing the same struggles. So I created the Get Better with Heather podcast to give you simple and effective strategies to do the same thing. So if you're a woman in midlife and you're struggling to feel good in your body, to take off extra weight without obsessing over food, to get motivated and get moving, then this podcast is for you. Hit the subscribe button to stay up to date, and let's get started. Welcome to the Get Better with Heather show with Heather McAllister, life and health coach. Today, I'm going to talk to you about my personal experience with dieting and give you a little insight into my journey and why my philosophy with health and weight loss is what it is today. I have a long history and past, as many of you probably do as well. And so I'm hoping that my story maybe rings true for you and provides a little bit of insight into the mindset that has shifted for me, that has really been a game changer. So looking back at my life as a teenager, and I'm going to start there because that's kind of when my relationship with food and my body shifted from when I was a kid and didn't think about those things. But I was a very strict dieter. And this really did start out in my teens, probably after puberty. And I read somewhere in a book, I was very, very caught up in my body image, as most teenage girls are. And, you know, I think some of that needs to change a little bit. But at that point, I think, you know, I had this ideal in my head of, you know, how much weight or what my ideal weight was. And of course that was looking at the scale. So I had a scale and I would weigh myself. And I thought in order to, you know, my ideal weight was 120 pounds. That was what I wanted to stay at. I was in my size 6 jeans or whatever it was that I wanted to stay in. It's probably what I weighed when I was about 12. And I read that I needed to eat 1,200 calories in order to maintain 120 pounds, which I will say, looking back, I'm not a small person. 120 pounds, if I weighed that today, I would probably not look healthy. But that was in my head where I thought I needed to be. Somewhat unrealistic, I think, now. The difference being, and I think the weight was actually irrelevant, but it was more that my self-esteem was reliant on my body weight. Like I really, you know, how I felt about myself was very much tied to what I weighed. And at that time, I was really good at following rules and, you know, 1,200 calories, I could do that. I could count calories all day long. It was very easy way. And I'm like, okay, I get this. I'll eat this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. So I decided, because this was the low fat craze, that, and I had massive willpower as a teenager. I would eat a bagel for breakfast because I loved bread and it was low. There was no fat. So I think I would actually just have a plain bagel, like not even put anything on it. I would drink Diet Snapple. Now, this is just typical. This wasn't every single day, but this was kind of what I remember thinking back to my diet was it consisted of bagels, Snapple. I might eat a somewhat decent dinner. You know, I probably wouldn't, I would count a little bit, like if my mother made some kind of protein like chicken or something like that, I'd probably have a piece of chicken and, I don't know, some kind of a side vegetable or whatever. Or even better, I might cook, some little bagel bites and have like five of them, because I was counting calories, and as long as I stayed within my calories, I was okay. And as long as there wasn't too much fat, so I would make sure not to put butter or mayonnaise or anything fattening on my food, right? And then, because I had a real sweet tooth and I have a tendency for that, which you can tell just given my high carb breakfast, right? Or my high carb diet, may not have been sweet, but it was carb loaded. I would allow myself a couple of Snackwell cookies. Do you remember Snackwells? I don't know if anybody out there has history with Snackwells, but I was like, okay, I can eat these cookies. They're diet cookies. There's no fat in them. And I could have 3 to 4 of these, and I'm staying within my 1200 calories, right? I, at that time, and this is a long history of this kind of fluctuating in and out of this, but I really avoided going out to dinner. I didn't like it. It caused massive anxiety because I would stress about my calories, and all of a sudden I'm eating, if I got a plate of really yummy food in front of me, like it would be really hard, willpower wise, to not give in to that. And after that would be really difficult to go back to my really, really restrictive diet. Like it was just so hard to live a normal life. And I really would just tell myself that my motto was I eat to live, right? I just eat just enough to live, which I had no idea. And I probably would have argued with you if you pointed out to me that I wasn't living a healthy life, but I thought I was because according to me, I was healthy if I was maintaining my weight. In all of this, and this was something that I didn't necessarily admit to myself or to anybody else, but I was obsessed about food. Like, I literally would look at the clock, like, I cannot wait for dinner time. Like, I am hangry, like, miserable from not eating. And this was probably because my body was starving. It was not getting the nutrition it needed. And yet, I would argue, because I didn't eat any fat sometimes, that it was healthy. And the other side of this was, if I did go off this diet that I was on, I would really be mad at myself. And if I put on weight, I would think to myself, oh my God, I gotta lose this weight, like now, like it all the alarm bells would go off. It was just miserable. I was unhappy with how I looked. Like my whole life was revolved really around this ideal I had in my head, and anything less than that meant really I wasn't good. And so I would then go off, starting my calorie counting again and again, eating crap food because as long as I was eating my calories, I was okay. Okay, so now kind of stepping forward into my 20 something year old years, my mindset didn't change much. I would sometimes fall off of this restrictive diet just because I had a little more independence and money and I was working and, I'm out and about with people and going out to dinner and things like that more. And so I would occasionally indulge, and it was really hard for me to manage those indulgences. Like I was like, it would fluctuate from not eating to overeating, and it was very, very stressful. What I would do is if I overeat, is I would exercise really hard to work it off. Like I almost punished myself. Like, oh my God, I have to go for a run or whatever. So looking back at this, what is wrong with that mindset? Well, never ever did I really look at food or my body as something that needed nutrition. And I never really looked at it from true health. I just looked at it from my weight. It was the weight on the scale, and it was the calories I was inputting into my body. And it was very punishing. I was trying to live with this crazy ideal, giving my body all the wrong foods. And when you're in your 20s, you can sometimes get away with that a little bit and still kind of have your ideal weight. And I'm not one to preach. You know, with part of my health coaching, I don't preach what people, what diet plan is best for them. I'm not somebody who's, you've got to be vegan, anything, with anything with meat is bad, or you have to be carnivore, or you have to be keto, or you don't, I don't prescribe to any specific diet plan. But I will tell you, and I feel very, very firmly on this, that counting calories only and only focusing on that number is completely wrong. Calories do have something to do with weight to some degree, yes. However, it's the food that you put into your body that is actual fuel. That's what's important. And counting calories becomes completely arbitrary when you're giving your body what it needs and you learn how to listen to what your body needs, because you won't overeat and you don't have to count anything when you give your body what it needs. If you're giving yourself highly processed, I will say garbage foods, it becomes really hard to manage because it's not natural and your body gets kind of hijacked. And that's what happened to me, because I was giving myself, highly refined carbohydrates, spiking my blood sugar levels, throwing off my hormones, which tricks your body into thinking it needs more calories, and it never quite gets what it needs. Anyway, your cells, every cell in your body is created by the fuel that you put into it. So the food is fuel, right? Which create or don't create hormones. If you're not getting enough fat, you can't even, build or create the hormones that your body needs. So it can throw off your hormone levels, throws off your gut health, which influences cravings and mood and energy and your immune system and everything. So when you deprive your body and only feed it these fake foods like the highly processed carbs with no fat, you're setting your body up for a major metabolic downfall later in life. Now, there may be a few exceptions to this rule. There are people out there that just seem to do just fine and it doesn't affect them. But most people, most humans need more nutrients and they need to eat the right macros for healthy metabolism. And again, for this, for everybody, this is a little bit different. But I will say that a high carb, high sugar diet will impact your metabolism. And I mean this from a metabolic standpoint, not just like your day-to-day metabolism, but actual your health is dependent on your metabolic health really dictates your health in general. And if you're feeding it the wrong fuel, it'll catch up to you later in life. So now for my mindset. I ate according to these rules and the restrictions from a place of self-loathing. And I didn't actually think this at the time. I did had no awareness into that, but when I look back, it was really my underlying mindset. I would talk about my legs being sausages. Yes, sausages. And I was thin at the time. I wasn't overweight. And most people would say, "Oh, you're crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. You're talking like that about yourself." But I really did. That's how I saw myself. There was this criticism of myself and my body. Now, did it matter if I was overweight or if I was thin? No, not really. I wasn't ever really happy with my body, and that was the real issue. Even like I said, when I was at my ideal weight, and I say this with air quotes because I was highly critical and I don't know that my ideal weight was realistic, I really felt if I didn't have, at that time we used to talk about thigh gaps, right? And if I didn't have that, then I was less than. And I really felt that way. Like it just felt, I felt kind of crappy. Like I would only feel good if I, was at my perfect ideal weight. Okay, so most people would agree that this was not and is not a healthy ideal body image or even realistic. But the real problem is that living with this mindset and eating with this mindset is extremely negative. It was miserable, it was fatiguing, and it was not fun, right? And who the heck wants to live like that? Over the long term, you eventually, it falls apart. I couldn't enjoy going out. You know, I had to use all my willpower when I was out and about around food and not eating what everybody else had. And this is actually kind of difficult for me to admit because this was something that was sort of my little secret, although not intentional. And I will say, this is probably why I said F it when I got a little bit older and things swung the other way. Like my body image just wasn't as important to me. And I had no real tools to be actually healthy. My relationship with food and exercise and my body really was not good. So my mindset around all of that stuff was not healthy, and I never really learned how to come at it from a better perspective. So there are major reasons why calorie counting was not good for me, nutritionally, emotionally, and not to say this is for everyone, but if you're coming from this mindset of trying to have an ideal body and that you're unhappy with yourself, even if you know, you didn't have that ideal body, but you were never happy with yourself and always in that restriction mindset, calorie counting will only feed into that mindset. So it's just not a great way to think about managing your weight. So following those rules or anything that's highly restrictive will continue to support this mindset. And not only will it cause you to feel miserable, and you may be familiar with this, like you just, I think there's a lot of resistance to any kind of a weight loss program because it's just associated with this misery of how to live, right? And how not to live. But you're never actually going to get tools. And by the tools, I mean mindset and actual real nutrition tools that you need to thrive and be happy and live a good life with this, there not being this drama associated with your body and food. So this can become apparent to you more when you're, you know, like for me, when, you know, I turned 40 years old, because all of those years of messing with your metabolism and your gut health really sets us up for longer term problems. And that's actually what happened with me. So I hit 40, and I started to gain the obligatory belly fat, like it was almost instantaneous. And my eating patterns improved. I wasn't, you know, eating bagels all day as a 30-something year old. But I didn't have the greatest way of looking at it. And, you know, there were a lot of things that I was doing wrong. And literally, if I ate carbs the next day, I would see belly fat. And I'm not kidding. It was like overnight. If I had a night out, if I was eating well and exercising, then one night, you know, or have an indulgence over the weekend, I was like really, really, like I was heavier the next day. It was like crazy. And that's because of the damage I did to my metabolism, I believe. Because as we get older, and this is kind of a universal truth, that I'm seeing everywhere, and it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of science to support this, but as we get older, we become carb intolerant. Some people more than others, but for the majority of this, we do become carb intolerant, and this, you know, is affected by genetics, but it's also affected by the foods and the way we lived our lives up until those years. And this is usually a slow onset. This isn't something necessarily that happens overnight, although you may start to see the changes kind of quickly in your 40s. Some people may not. It may be later on. It may be when you're going through perimenopause, menopause, that you really see a major shift as well. My mindset of exercising and eating crappy carbs no longer worked. And in my young 40s, so probably like 42, I had my A1C tested and it was borderline pre-diabetic, which meant that my blood sugars were high for a period of time. And this was when I was running and I would say I was fairly fit. I wasn't probably where I wanted to be, but I was really active and, eating somewhat healthy. So high blood sugar levels and A1C issues and insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, all of those things can take years to present. So it's not always an overnight thing. And it could be just that steady rise in blood sugar levels and that intolerance to eating carbs that starts to show up. And that's, I think, what kind of is the physiological reason for most weight gain for women in their 40s, especially. We often have no idea it's happening. And your doctor probably, as long as you're not pre-diabetic, isn't really going to say much because your blood sugar levels could be within what they think is normal, but there are clues there that it's creeping up. So this is the point in my life what opened my eyes, and because part of it is I was working with people in healthcare who had type 2 diabetes, a lot of people, a lot of my caseload as an occupational therapist. I was seeing the physiological results of people who had type 2 diabetes, and a lot of them had a very complicated medical histories, heart problems, problems with healing, just a whole host of problems that can happen, and really kind of scared me. And that opened my eyes. It was sort of like a gut check, like, okay, this is where you're headed, Heather. Like, you need to find a better way. So, a game changer for me in this whole process was not only learning to be kind to myself, so no longer hating my body, but being realistic that it's okay to be imperfect. And I can still love myself and care for myself despite being imperfect. And that was one of the things that really became this guiding principle in my life because I was very wrapped up in being perfect and in control of things. And that showed up in other areas of my life, not just in the way I approached eating and diet. It showed up in, a lot of things, especially related to work and school. But I really began to look at my body as something I wanted to keep healthy. And it sounds really, really simple, right? But it became eye-opening in my 40s because I lost my mom when she was in her 40s. And, I really just didn't want that to happen to me. I wanted to be healthy for my family. I wanted to have a happier life. This became much more important to me, just being happy, enjoying life, and not being so hard on myself. So I really sought out to find this balance between, the highly restrictive diet and the other side of it and saying, F it, I'm going to eat whatever I want and I'm not going to worry about it. And I really started to look at what my body needed and dealing with emotions in a healthier way and looking at nutritional science. So really, like what do we know about the body and what do I need to thrive and feel good? So one of the issues that I think a lot of us deal with, especially as we hit our later decades of life, is that there's a lot of stress. And there are plenty of circumstances out there that we cannot control. And these are impacting our willpower. So, like I said, when I was in my teens and my early 20s, I had a lot of willpower. But, the stress was really minimal in my life. And I had stress, but not the kind of stress of responsibility when you have a family and a career and, bills to pay and all of that. But what I learned later in life was that we all have stress, right? But it's how we look at stress and how we react to stress that really makes the difference. And stress can often be, or emotional turmoil can often be something that causes us to eat poorly, and we turn to to certain foods to make us feel better. And it's, you know, I like the way there's a life coach that I follow who says this, that Brooke Castillo, and she talks about buffering, and food can become that, where we, if we're not dealing with emotions correctly and we're not, you know, kind of acknowledging and feeling what we're feeling, we can sometimes turn to food in order to make us feel better or to stuff away those feelings. So that was one of the things that really changed for me, was, you know, why am I turning to these foods? What is going on in my life that's making me want to eat certain foods just to feel good, right? There's also messages everywhere in social media that makes us stressed out. It's not just in magazines anymore. You know, we were kids, and if you're in your 40s now, you can relate to this. You know, we had Glamour magazine in 17, and there were plenty of messages that you had to have the perfect body there, but it wasn't everywhere like it is now. Like social media, we're on it. So many people are there, and there's just a lot out there that people make them their lives look perfect, and they're really not. But it's out there. It's a comparison issue for a lot of people. And, you know, the other part of this that I think we deal with as adults, and especially as women, is that we're constantly asked to give of ourselves, to put our needs last. You know, as women, we're often given these ideals of being a great mom, a great wife, you know, have this successful career while still raising perfect, important children that do everything wonderful and everything's great, and, you know, always be positive. And it's just not realistic to live that way. So what I have found is that when you come from a healthier mindset, one of being curious as to what your body needs and why things are showing up in your life as they are, when you are coming from self-love and compassion and you take intentional steps that really nourish yourself, not only from a food perspective, but emotionally, spiritually, socially, being okay having desires. You know, it's okay to have desires. It doesn't mean that we give in to them all the time, but even just acknowledging that we have them, you're better able to make choices naturally that manage your weight. And when you're no longer addicted to those highly processed carbs, and you're no longer running on this willpower restriction from eating, it all becomes much easier with less drama. So eating natural foods, reducing processed carbs and sugars, in some cases completely cutting them out of your diet, and I have gotten to that point where I have had to cut them out, can be a good experience when you're coming from a place of loving kindness for yourself. Like, this is a real thing. When you learn to flex that muscle of not giving in to every urge you have, so you're not just saying F it, and you're compassionate about having desires, but not always giving in to them, you build confidence. And it's coming from a completely different mindset. So you might have an eating plan that looks exactly like the one you would have if you were following a healthy diet, not a calorie counting diet. Not one based on calories, like I said, but when you realize that you don't need certain foods to be happy, when there's no drama in saying no to a piece of cake, or being okay with yourself when you do indulge from time to time, things will shift. So what I have learned is that, yes, there are nutritional guidelines that will help you maintain a healthy weight. They are not necessarily based on calories. If you haven't gotten that message from me yet. And I like to think about this visualization right here. If you think about a Krispy Kreme donut versus an avocado, the donut actually has less fat and calories. Which one do you think is better for you in maintaining and nourishing your body? So if I had the calorie counting mentality, the Krispy Kreme would be like totally fine, right? Like when I was a teenager, yeah, sure. Although it had fat in it, so I probably wouldn't eat the donut. But The avocado, oh my gosh, like there's so much fat in it. Now we know better, right? We know better. The avocado is actually really good for you. When we adopt better balance and a mindset of compassion and love for our bodies, we can make better choices. So look at it this way. You often say no to your child. So if you're a parent, or even if you're not a parent, you probably can understand this, right? They may ask for things all the time that aren't good for them. And you're okay with saying no to them from time to time, right? Like it's not a free for all. They need to make good decisions, make healthy decisions. It's the same thing with managing weight. We cannot deny that our brain may desire sugary foods. It's actually a survival mechanism. And foods all around us, food companies have made foods unnaturally addictive. So now we have to deal with that as well. But foods in nature, like blueberries, they're sweet and your brain may like them and want them, but they're definitely not as addictive as the foods that have been created by food companies. Saying no to yourself when you have the urge to eat Oreos is not a bad thing. We can turn that into an okay thing and we can take the drama out of it. We can actually start to reduce our desire for things. But it's like telling your child no because you know it's not healthy. So overindulging in foods is not pleasure eating. And a lot of times we do are like, oh, but then I'm cutting out all the good stuff. I just want to plant this seed that eating donuts, eating Oreos, eating all of these really highly sugary foods is not pleasurable. It's harmful to your body. When you come from a mindset of loving yourself, of being kind to yourself, and having compassion, you can say no to yourself without all the drama. And it may not feel good at first, but I want to just leave it at this. Not everything in our life is sunshine and rainbows. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable. That is the discomfort of growing, and that's okay. So that is all I have to say today. And I would love to get your feedback. You can always contact me if you go to my website, getbetterwithheather.com. If you're struggling with weight loss and you're really struggling with this diet mentality, go ahead and reach out to me because that is something that I feel really, really strongly about and would love to help you in that case with my coaching. So, have a great day, guys, and I will see you next time. I am so excited to announce that I will be rolling out the Better Body Formula, which is an online health coaching program to help my lady friends like me in midlife struggling to lose weight and feel good in their bodies. It is a step-by-step approach with coaching as part of the program and something that you can do at your own pace. So, you could say goodbye to dieting and finally have an easy to follow formula, a formula that has taken years for me to develop because, yes, I was the guinea pig. I was the one going through all of these ups and downs and making all of these mistakes. But I've packaged all of those mistakes and all of the things that I've learned from my two certifications in health coaching, from all my knowledge about the human body, about the human brain, and about the life of a woman in midlife, a busy mom, a career woman, and how to implement the best program to finally take charge of your body, enhance energy, and learn how to listen to your body so that you're not having to go to experts and you're not having to go to books and people telling you, totally different things. This is one program where you get to decide what is the best method for you and learn how to identify your unique roadblocks, the things that get in your way. I spent a lot of time self-sabotaging my weight loss efforts, and some of those were limiting beliefs that I had, and other reasons were totally physiological things that I didn't understand. If you want to get on the wait list,
go ahead and click the link that's in the show notes. It is going to be an awesome program, self-paced. Like I said, it's going to have some coaching component to it. So I will be helping you throughout the way and helping you create awesome confidence that impacts your life in every way. To get on the wait list for the Better Body Formula, go to land.getbetterwithheather.com/betterbody. This is the wait list that I will use to send out email updates so that you are the first to know about this program when it becomes available. And I guarantee that there are going to be some awesome bonuses to the first few members of this program. So go ahead, sign up. All you have to do is put your email address in, and I will send you those updates.